311.
Good morning and welcome to the 311 radio show. Yes, good morning to all of our listeners on VOB 92.9 FM. I know that a lot of you have been checking in, you know, listening for the show last Sunday at its usual time. We were met with cricket coverage. So I know a lot of people would actually call and ask me what happened to the show last Sunday. But just so you know that for the next few weeks, that the station will be carrying cricket coverage live around the time that the show will normally air. So you can catch the show bright and early, 9 a.m. on VOB 92.9. And of course, if you don't catch it on the radio, you can always check their Facebook page for the podcast that will show a bit later. But for sure, 9 a.m. Sunday morning for the next few weeks, as our time slot has been, you know, taken away from us for a bit for our cricket coverage, but we don't mind because, you know, what I said about the early bird catches the fattest worm. So we're happy to be in this morning period. So as promised, I have Dr. Kirk Douglas back with me. We promise you part two in terms of the biosecurity and the other issues we were looking at in terms of wildfires and everything concerning that, also with the environment and the effects of the wildfires on the environment. So we welcome you back, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Barbados. Good morning, Officer Taylor. How are you doing? I'm doing good here. Not currently in Barbados at the moment, but, you know, doing well.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. So, you know, last time we spoke, we looked at what was biodiversity, the difference between biodiversity and biosecurity. Also, we looked at water resilience and what is important for us here in Barbados. We looked at a number of things last time. And we looked at the implications. You mentioned some implications in terms of the wildfires, in terms of scorching the earth, which may lead to flooding. Then when we get the rains, you also mentioned, us being a kind of a drought period for the at least the next year or more because of the weather phenomenon, La Nina and El Nino, if I'm correct, right?
Yeah, that is correct.
All right. So we talked about a lot last time we were here together. So I want to get into some solutions because, you know, I never like to anything actually, just to state the problems, and then we never mention any solutions or what we can do to try to make things better. So my first question to you, sir, is would you say there are any alternatives to the burning that is happening here? You know, as we move across Barbados, we have a lot of vacant lots that, as you mentioned, have a lot of grass on them, or maybe we have some plantations that don't have any cane on them anymore, and it's just grass. Is there anything that we can just do with this land besides push it off for housing? If people are still looking maybe at agriculture ways, is there anything that we can do with this large amount of grass that we just have around, to move away so it's not tempting to people to actually burn it?
Yeah, I think there's some alternatives that exist. But I think what is necessary is an integrated approach. I think you need not only one entity or two entities to tackle this, because I think I would have mentioned in the last show that it is not only, I believe, the remit only of the fire service and perhaps even the water authority to actually tackle this. This has to be a wider stakeholder engagement, because in terms of the land use management, that is something that's governed by town and country planning. Then also with the Ministry of Agriculture, our cultural lands moving out from agriculture production, going into a potentially residential use. So you have to inculcate policy, legislation, all in this to support any efforts that you're going to do. So you need to bring all of these players to the same table to have these discussions to then craft a sustainable path forward. Now, outside of that, then what do you do with all of this grass? Because the grass will grow. Rain will fall, grass will grow. Something that we've been working on at the center and at the university is looking at an alternative way of handling our waste, because Barbados is not unique in the Caribbean to this, but one of the key features of our economic development is that we rely on trade and tourism. That's how we earn foreign exchange. But from a biosecurity perspective, these are all key vulnerabilities. To give you an example, some statistics from across the globe, every tourist that comes into the country generates 2 to 3 times the amount of waste as a resident. And this is true not only for the Caribbean, but this is whichever region you go. So it's something that's a universal, pretty universal phenomenon. Now, if you look at Barbados, we are 275 odd thousand persons that live in Barbados. When you look at how many persons, tourists, come into Barbados, since the year 2000, we had 1 million people that came into the island. Since 2000, probably with the exception of 2020 and 2021, when we had COVID-19. And so you're looking at a disparity of 4 times the amount of tourists that are coming into residents, and then that 4 times is generating 2 to 3 times more waste than residents. So you're seeing a growing gap, because the impetus is to grow the tourism industry, which is the main our revenue earner. But at the same time, it is putting more and more pressure on our waste management. And so that is where you would see people burning rubbish, or one of the reasons. I don't think that's the only reason. But if you have that disparity in your waste management, solid waste management, then these things will occur. And so you have to look at a systemic solution for it. And so we thought about it. We then tried to see how we could theorize, but also then hopefully put into practice a solution for it. So we've been working on an economic model. It's called the bio trash to cash model. Essentially what we're looking at is converting bio waste streams. And this is any waste that you have that's biological in origin. This could be grass. This could be hedge clippings. This could be sewage. This could be manure from animals, even fats, oils, and grease from your grease trap, or you know, from the wastewater system that the BWA manages at the Bridgetown sewage plant and also at the South Coast sewage plant. Because these are all waste that we have on the island that pose an environmental threat and that eventually will pose a public health threat. So we're looking now at all the different systems and seeing how we could re-engineer them in such a way that we reduce the risk to everyone. So whilst developing these potential solution for welfares, we also look not beyond welfares and look at how we could incorporate all of the bio-waste streams, generate renewable energy from it. So we actually generate cash or revenue that makes it sustainable, because at the end of the day, that's what will keep things going. If you don't bring in revenue, then you know systems will fall apart. So the idea is to incorporate this into a centralized national plan, having these areas, for instance, coming home now to the welfare issue, these areas where we know perennially burn almost every single year, and they're large expanses of land, and perhaps the owners of the land don't even have the wherewithal to manage it effectively. And so by reason, they leave it and let nature take its course. So in such a model, what we're saying is that owner can have that land, you know, whether it's swiped, cleared, maybe not all the trees, but definitely the grass and whatnot. And that biomass after it's cut can then be transported to a centralized area where we could do this technology called anaerobic digestion. And anaerobic digestion is essentially what occurs in the gut of a cow. We know about how a cow chews its cut, right? But there are rumen bacteria within the rumen of the cow, which is a part of the digestive tract of the cow. These anaerobic bacteria break down the cellulose in the grass, convert it into sugar, and generate methane, or what you consider biomethane. Now, you can apply the same technology that is in the cow a more unnatural state, but in like a bioreactor. And you can then control the amount of biomethane and trap it rather than releasing it into the air and then causing more greenhouse gas emissions and therefore reinforcing the impact of climate change. So it is a strategy, national strategy, that we are advocating for. Part of the solution incorporates that welfare hazard in case of where you have all of this RAB land. It is clear. And the quantity of biomass then that is contributed to the system, you can work out a tariff rate, just like how you would, for instance, for solar energy. And that person or the owner of the land can then be remunerated for it. Or obviously the cost of doing the clearing and collection comes at a cost either to the owner, or maybe the government does that and then they generate revenue from it and they ensure that their costs are cleared and taken care of. But overall, what it lends is sustainability to the whole process. And so we also develop a different ideology surrounding waste. We don't look at it as something onerous. We don't look at it as something, you know, that I have to spend money on. No, you're actually flipping the whole paradigm and thinking, well, wait, I could actually make money from this. And so, you know, people then regard the resource differently, because if the waste has no value, people treat it like that. But when you know it has intrinsic value, all of a sudden now you're very cautious, you're very clear on where you want to take it, because you want to benefit from it. And so that's what we want to do, because you have to change the human behavior. And that is a key process. And it's not an easy thing to achieve. And that's one of the head reasons why the center is also domiciled in the Faculty of Social Sciences, because while STEM can come up with a lot of engineering and technological brilliant ideas, at the end of the day, you really want to change human behavior. So this requires social science. And that is something that we want to definitely propagate through the Center for Biosecurity Studies, marrying STEM, but also incorporating social sciences along with it, because that is what we'll learn for sustainability. So that is, in a nutshell, what we're advocating for across the area of Barbados. And there are certain areas in Barbados who know where this occurs. So it is not like every blade of grass you're going to cut, right? But yes, there are certain areas where we know are problematic. And you can start with a pilot. And along with the fire service, we can look and see if the incidence drops. And like I said, it's not only the fire, but it's the smoke. And so the size of the fire is something that is really problematic, because you could have maybe two fires, but if you have two extremely large fires, then, you know, it can be quite uncomfortable for persons. So these are some of the things that we're working on, and we are looking to start also the project where it's funded by CRIF, SPC, where we want to equip the fire service with drone technology to be able to capture that essential data. Because even though we recognize that we had, I think, in March around 215 grass fires or wildfires in the island, which is on the lower end in terms of if you look at the period from 2008 to current, there were some years where there's a lot more. Yeah, but that's in terms of the number of fires. But I believe that most persons would think that March was a really bad and awful, very uncomfortable month. And that may be due to the size of these fires. So even the number of fires may be less, the impact may not necessarily be less. It might still be as bad or even worse. So that's why we need to capture that data. So we'll be equipping the fire service with that, and also installing air pollution sensors across Barbados to be able to now look at the air quality across Barbados and how wildfires impact on that. Because there are other sources of air pollution, not only wildfires, but we don't know, we don't have data. And what gets measured gets managed. So if you don't measure, you can't effectively manage it. So that is what we are really trying to do. And so we really thank you for your service, Chief Fire Officer, yourself, and all the other officers who would have participated in the training sponsored through the BWA, BWCs, and also the GCF with the WSRNS project. I think that is going to be like the nucleus of how we approach a lot of the projects that we do throughout the Caribbean, having a more inclusive nature rather than trying to tackle an issue through a sole agency. I think the problem itself is multifactorial, so you need to bring in all of the different players to be able so you could discuss the way forward.
So you actually mentioned something pretty interesting in terms of the human behavior, human factor in it. And that is something that we have mentioned more than once on this show. You know, it's, in Barbados, we seem to have a burn culture. So Gran came along and she will always be burning, as you say, some stuff in the backyard. And then
you got to stuff them.
Yeah, exactly. Stuff it. Right? And then, you know, my mother will come along and she would do the same thing. And then I would see that. And then I would come along and do the same thing. So it's really, you know, our job, you know, to try to change that behavior, you know, get people to realize that, hey, this is not something that we need to continue. You know, this is not something that we need to add to the history books or to our heritage as being people who love to burn garbage on a daily. Because we're still getting the calls coming in up to today. A lady called complaining about someone, you know, burning some rubbish close to her home. So we definitely are aiming at changing that behavior and that culture that we
have. I think awareness is part, a big part of it. And this is where I see how the center actually can help facilitate that, because I know you guys have been on the forefront of this, trying to battle this kind of a bit solo. And we are definitely willing to assist you there. But I think also the Ministry of Health and even outside of Barbados, like PAHO and WHO, because when you look at the statistics for air pollution, 7 million people die every single year due to air pollution. That's a staggering statistic.
Yes.
When you think of COVID-19 has not even killed 7 million people in the 3 years that we had the pandemic. And that is just from breathing air.
Correct.
Air pollution. Less than 1% of people across the globe live in areas where the air quality is actually good enough to breathe. Think about that. That's 99% of the rest of the world breathing air that's contaminated, that is affecting their health. And so we have to be assiduously looking to tackle these sources of air pollution. And it ties in and goes in tandem with the climate change adaptation and mitigation measures that we are looking at. Because the same by trash to cash model that I would have just explained, it also tackles climate change and greenhouse gas emissions. Because Think about it, all of this waste that we generate actually ends up, the majority of it, into the environment, into landfills. And we know sometimes you have landfill fires, and this is caused by the generation of the same biomethane. So rather than letting it occur in the landfill, posing a health hazard and also a fire hazard, we are saying divert it from the landfills, put it in a system where you could actually harness that biomethane, make it work. Because what can you use biomethane for? One, you can use it for cooking. So now you don't need LPG, or you can reduce the expenditure from the level of the government to bring in LPG outside. So you save foreign exchange. You can also utilize it for transportation. A lot of people don't know, but you can utilize CNG kits, which are, CNG stands for compressed natural gas. And in Trinidad and Tobago, they also have kits where you can outfit your standard gasoline vehicle. So the car that you're driving now, the truck that you're driving now, you could actually order a kit, have the mechanic put it in, and then use compressed natural gas to power your vehicle. And I think this is an excellent strategy for the nation as well, as we transition from fossil fuels to cleaner fuels and then to renewable energy, because the threshold for persons actually purchasing electric vehicles is really high, and not everyone in Barbados will be able to afford an electric vehicle. It is not. And then also, what are you going to do with the mass fleet of gasoline vehicles that we have? You know, it is an enormous challenge, because by the year 2030, that's the target for our renewable energy policy, to be carbon neutral by that year. And I love the ambitious target, but I would like to see some more strategic efforts in terms of how do we get there. And I think that this allows us to definitely get there. And then when you think of biomethane as well, there's another use of it. You can actually convert biomethane into protein using biotechnology. So you could actually produce animal feed from biomethane. So these are almost four different products I already talked about just from biomethane, right? And it's also going to generate economic activity in new sectors, because now we're going into manufacturing, and it will also lend to food security, because one of the major challenges poultry farmers, pig farmers will tell you is that feed costs keep escalating. And this is all coming from garbage that we are throwing away. So when you think of it, to me, this is a much more sustainable way and approach to how we can tackle sustainable development in small and developing states. Because renewable energy, whilst it's good, it does have some drawbacks in terms of the batteries. And I know the fire service would have also shared, when, because we're talking about fires, the lithium batteries, lithium-ion batteries, when they spark and they explode or catch fire, they're very difficult to extinguish. And with electric cars as well, we know that even in the USA and some other parts of Europe, these are challenges for firefighters. So whilst we're discussing renewable energy and going in that direction, we also have to do the full 360 and understand also the risks and hazards that exist so that we can effectively tackle them. So
I heard you mention in terms of, when you went on from the bio trash for cash slogan, which I like a lot, you mentioned wastewater. Is this wastewater something that can be useful? Can it be converted and used for anything good? But when you hear wastewater, be thinking something that's pretty dirty.
And that's the term waste, and that's a psychological association that we have with waste. And so I guess in terms of branding it, you would have to say reclaimed water rather than wastewater, something that's outside of that realm, because mentally that's how people think. But think about it, and that's why we have zoning laws across Barbados as it relates to water resource management and water quality. That's why there's zone one areas where, you know, building is either prohibited or is very, very strictly managed because of the water table may be too high. And therefore, if you have, let's say, your bathroom facilities and where you store your sewage, if that becomes compromised and then can feed into the groundwater, then, you know, it can lead to contamination of the groundwater. So when we talk about recycling of wastewater, sewage is primarily, I think, between 95 to 99% water. The other percentage is really solid waste that comes from us as humans. So one of the challenges we have, we are the 15th most water scarce country in the entire world. And with climate change, it is going to become more and more difficult to ensure we have potable water. Because the thing is that even though there's the same amount of water that was on the earth is still here, the proportion of it that's accessible to us is going to be reduced. So we're going to have a lot of seawater, we're going to have ice caps, glaciers, and even those are melting. So we have to look at strategic ways in which we can manage our water, because we need water to survive. And so with the reclamation of the wastewater, one of the projects that the BWA is embarking on is called the 3R Cruise. It's another GCF-funded project that is in the pipeline to be rolled out in the island. I think there was some press release early in the year where the government of Barbados was awarded $18 million to do this particular project. So the concept is now sewage, as of now, in Barbados and throughout the Caribbean, this is the practice. We treat the sewage to a certain level. We dilute and then we pump the effluent out to sea. Right, that's the way we deal with it. But because of our challenge and constraints with water resource management, we have to look at innovative ways of which we can reuse this water. Because the water itself, if you can purify it to the tertiary level, like what the BWA intends on doing, then you could actually reuse it. So we could reuse this for irrigation, for crops. And we know that farmers definitely need alternative sources of water for crop production. And then they're also going to take some of that water and also pump it down into the underground aquifer to recharge the aquifer with this water, rather than pumping out to sea and potentially damaging the marine environment and also the coral reefs on which we depend on for our security and protection from wave action when we do have storm system. So that's what I'm saying, is it's a really integrated way of looking at it. I know people may be wondering, well, there's a lot going on, but this is the way in which you have to approach these problems, because these problems radiate out into different sectors and different areas. And so to develop a comprehensive solution, you really have to follow the trend, and try to develop the solution in a similar way.
Okay, so as per usual, on the show, our time is ticking away. So
yes.
In about 2 minutes or so, do you think that it is time for us to have some strong legislation here against indiscriminate burning? Because you talked about the wildfires and the effects on the environment, on people and stuff like that. Do you think it is time for us to have that conversation with some strong legislation?
Without doubt. But when I say that, I also say when we have that legislation, it has to be strong. Yes. Mm-hmm. But it also has to be paired with the effective management of waste. So we have to find solutions. The same gap that I mentioned, that if we don't fix that, even in face of strong legislation, you can't legislate change into people all the time. Because at the end of the day, if people are faced with the challenges with waste management, they will take the easiest and most comfortable route. So we have to, in tandem with that, also look at solutions to tackling waste management on smaller developing states like Barbados. And I think once you start to do that, then it can then lend to the type of behavioral change that we really want, because that's the reason why you want to do the legislation, because you really want to stop people from burning, but it's only part and parcel of the solution. I don't believe that it's the only part of the solution. So I say, yes, we should have stronger legislation, but in tandem with that, we also have to have support in terms of the management of the waste and looking at how we're going to do that. But we're hoping to do a pilot. And what we're looking at the moment is seeing how we could perhaps start with the tourism industry and show them how they can utilize their waste, because they're going to be the largest probably in terms of demand of water on the island comes from the tourism sector, and also with the waste that they generated. Remember the stats that I gave earlier. Oh, you know, 2 to 3 times more waste. And so how could we make them more sustainable? And even from a business continuity and a business angle, they can actually now start to market their hotels, their resorts, their places as being sustainable. And I think it lends to more market attractiveness as well. So we will try to, you know, hit the ground running with that this year. And we'll see where it goes. But I am very, very optimistic about it, because I think that, like always, Barbados always tries to punch above its weight.
Yes.
And I believe with these types of initiatives, like what the Prime Minister is actually doing currently, and also Professor Avinash Prasad with the British Summit Initiative, this is in direct alignment with that same type of advocacy from smaller developing states outward into the larger global arena.
Okay, so Dr. Douglas, I want to thank you again very much for taking the time out. As you mentioned earlier, you're not even in Ireland, but you took the time out of this to come and you know, have this little chat with us once again. So thank you very much once again, sir, for taking the time out and for sharing that very important information with us.
Yeah, and thank you too, and thank you to the Barbados Fire Service for the kind invitation. And like I said, I want to really strongly encourage you guys to continue the advocacy that you have been doing and continue to do in Barbados, because I think you're really, you know, shining a light from the East in the Caribbean to the rest of the region. I think it's an excellent job you guys are doing. So continue to do the great work.
Thank you very much. And of course, you know, fire prevention is our intention. As I always say, take care of yourselves and each other. So until next time, goodbye.
Price. crisis, you can depend on the Barbados Fire Service 311.